We need to have a spiritual purpose in our life. I know your purpose is to make a living for your family, to make a living for yourself, to bring up your kids in the way of the Lord, to have a Christian marriage or a life as a single that would glorify God and be able to be used of God. But you can't discount your Christian walk from your secular life. They're married together. There's no separation. Well, yeah, I'm a Christian, but now here, I've got my secular life as well. No, that's not New Testament. That's not what we're looking at in the book of Acts. It was married together.
As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
Aloha kako e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in Acts chapter 20 with a message titled Eutychus.
We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because.
I've entitled this Eutychus. His name means fortunate. Doesn't seem like he's too fortunate in the beginning and then very fortunate at the end. So we'll go through the first 12 verses of chapter 20. But we could divide chapter 20 into four sections. You have Paul in Ephesus, and then he goes through Macedonia to Troas, and that's the first six verses. And then when in Troas, he begins to speak to the church there, and that's where Eutychus falls out the window and Paul raises him back up from the dead, verses 7 to 12, and that's what we'll deal with this morning. But then we find them go back. They retrace their steps through Macedonia for a good reason, and they go to Miletus, that's verses 13 to 17, and they call the Ephesian elders. And then the last part, verses 18 to 38, Paul admonishes the Ephesian elders. Very heartwarming portion there. But we want to deal with these first 12 verses. And we know that Paul is on his third missionary journey. You've been with us in that journey. And he plans to go to Jerusalem. Those are his plans for the Passover. But he takes a circuitous route through Macedonia. Usually they'd get on board ship and just go there, but he goes north before he goes south, because Jerusalem would be south, but he goes north. In order to, good plan here, he's collecting an offering for the hurting church in Jerusalem. They had fallen on hard times. There were famine conditions, and the church was in great distress at this point. Now, not only was he collecting money from the Gentile churches to give to the Jewish church there in Jerusalem, it was really an act of love. But not only an act of love, love for the brethren. Maybe the brethren that you were at odds with before, because the Jews and the Gentiles were at odds, but now in Christ, they're one. And so not only that love relationship that they had in Christ that we should all have, no matter what ethnic group comes into the body of Christ, that kind of love, that agape love, that reaching out love, where you're giving to others and loving others and not necessarily expecting it in return. It's the kind of love that God has for us. Not only that, but to show the unity, the bond that there is in Christ Jesus. So always in Paul's mind as a great shepherd, he's always thinking of the love of the body of Christ and the unity of the body of Christ. And so here, one part of the body is suffering. So for Paul, as the scripture says, then we all suffer. When one part of the body rejoices, we all rejoice. And so Paul, what a great example here. So You can travel either by ship or you can travel by land. You can walk, but of course it would take months as you're walking. A lot shorter time if you're maybe by ship. But when you think about our day and age, we could get almost anywhere in hours. I mean, it doesn't take us long at all. We could go to the other side of the world and go minister there in Africa. You know, one of the farthest journeys I took was from South Africa. I thought I'd never get off the plane. And it's hours, it's a long time, but when you think of what it took for them, it took months if you're walking. You know, it took months to get where you're going. It takes us a lot less. Now, remember, Paul has spent, and here's where we are, we're in Ephesus, the city of Ephesus. He spent 3 years there. And in those 3 years, he established a very strong fellowship with mature believers there. When you read the book of Ephesians, you see every church has problems, but you see just the great group of Christians that they had there. But then as he was leading and as he was teaching and as he was training them, you find that a lot of controversy came from that fellow Demetrius. Remember the silversmith? Because he stirred the people up. Because all of a sudden his trade of selling these silver idols for the temple of Diana or Artemis, it might be in your Bible, same one. It's that love goddess. It's basically, it's religious prostitution. You'd go into the temple and that's how they would worship, you know, by sexual promiscuity. And so now the people, because Christianity was coming into their life, and one of the things that Christianity brought into a person's life is purity, moral purity, never heard of. You see, that's still happening today because we live in such a loose society. When you come to Christ, you sense, you know what? Now I'm married to Jesus Christ. I'm not married to my passion. But here, Demetrius and all those that were making these silver idols, they were losing out. And so a riot took place. And they wanted to tear Paul apart, but Paul was hid by the brethren, didn't want them to get a hold of him. And then we find that this town clerk, a wise individual, he quelled the crowd, this rioting crowd, and they calmed down. He restored the peace, and then he dispersed the crowd. Town clerk knew, you know, you're going to riot in this city. You know what Rome's going to do? They're going to come down here with their soldiers and their iron boots, and they're going to stamp us out. We're a free city, but we're under Roman rule, so stop it. So they listened to reason. And so that's where we're at. Paul's still in Ephesus. So in verse 1, we'll do it verse by verse as we want to glean from this. It says in Acts chapter 20, verse 1, after the uproar had ceased, Paul sent for the disciples, and when he had exhorted them and taken his leave of them, he left to go to Macedonia. So that would be the long route, and I think there might be a map up on the screen where you could kind of see that route that he took. It's kind of a circuitous way to get to Troas. But one of the things that I noticed here is he exhorted the brethren, the brothers and sisters, those who were saved. Your Bible might have embraced. The Greek word is parakleto. Parakleto. And it's a thing that you find where you're coming alongside to encourage, to build up. That's what Paul is doing. So after things calm down, things look safe, Paul calls the disciples together, and he's always thinking about the sheep. He's always thinking about their safety and their welfare and looking out for them. And now he's encouraging them. He's coming alongside to help. He doesn't just evangelize and leave them. He edifies them. He builds them up in their most holy faith. And so I think what we see in Paul is a great example for any shepherd, any leader, that he has a heart of a shepherd. To exhort carries the idea of moving people from a place of knowing to a place of doing. Lots of times in a sermon, you can hear about knowing things, but it's another thing to exhort you to do those things. And that's what Paul is doing here. He knows that they know, but now they need to do. In other words, bring them out of the comfort zone into the battle zone, because it's going to be a battle there among their friends and their family members and among this religious system that is against Jesus Christ and Christianity at that point. So he turns them into believing action figures, you could say, instead of do-nothing saints. It's a lot of do-nothing saints. They come and they go, they call themselves Christians, but they don't act on what they hear. You see, I like this term, parakaleo, because we all have a divine appointments. You're going to have a divine appointment, I suspect, today or sometime this week. And if you're a do-nothing Christian, a do-nothing saint, you're going to miss what God wants you to do in that divine appointment. You see, the divine appointment would be for you to come alongside and maybe build up that person. Well, I'm not a pastor, Bill. I'm not an apostle, Bill. Yeah, but you're a saint. The word applies to you as well. Sense those divine appointments in that person that comes into your path. Maybe it's just praying for them. Maybe it's talking to them, giving them a listening ear, and maybe it's giving your testimony or just saying, you know what, the Lord is going to work in your life. I'll be praying for you. You see, that's the parakaleo. You're coming alongside to help, to build up. He goes on, verse 2, it says, when he had gone through those districts and had given much exhortation, he came to Greece or Achaia. And again, on that map, you could see that. But so now he's leaving, he's left Ephesus, and he takes that circuitous route all the way around to Achaia and to Greece. But notice what he does all throughout the different little cities, the different churches that he had established. He's bringing encouragement. You see, Paul, he lived for a purpose. We need to have a purpose, a spiritual purpose in our life. I know your purpose is to make a living for your family, to make a living for yourself, to bring up your kids in the way of the Lord, to have a Christian marriage, or just a life as a single that would glorify God and be able to be used of God. You see, but you can't discount your Christian walk from your secular life. They're married together. There's no separation. Well, yeah, I'm a Christian, but now here, I've got my secular life as well. No, that's not New Testament. That's not what we're looking at in the book of Acts. It was married together. We've got to figure out if we're super busy, you know, and we feel like, Bill, I can't be used the way you're talking. Well, you know what? I was doing surfboards. And in my surfboard business, because I was a Christian, because I would sell surfboards and other supplies and stuff, I would make a card. I gave my testimony on the card. I would hand it out to all the people that came into my shop. Now, I got to talk to some people about the Lord, and maybe some I didn't get to talk to, but at least they had that card, that calling card that gave my name and address and surfboards and the supplies I had and stuff. You see, so you can do it. You just need to be creative and have a heart to for the Lord and to encourage others. That's what Paul had. He had a purpose in his life. It was a divine purpose in his life. And you have a divine purpose in your life. For Paul, it was to build up, to encourage the believers wherever he went. Now he left Ephesus. He's going to all these other cities. And he's having these divine appointments. I don't think there's a greater joy than divine appointments in the Lord, especially with other Christians that maybe, you know, you come in contact with, or other unbelievers that might be open to hear what you have to say. That's an incredible thing, and especially traveling. I love it, traveling. Just to wait and watch and see what God will do, the opportunities that he brings, the opportunity of fellowship with people you don't know, and you just start talking about the Lord, what God is doing in your life, in their life, and in the church life. Maybe you're in a out-of-state situation, and You're with somebody that has prayer needs and you pray for them and you encourage believers. It's so edifying. And that's Paul. What a great example. What a great thing, that parakaleo, that edification. Well, notice in verse 3, and there he spent 3 months, that's in Troas, and when a plot was formed against him by the Jews, as he was about to set sail to Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia. So, actually, he comes back to Troas. So you don't really see too much here, except they're all uptight and they want to kill him. He's there 3 months. 3 months, probably in Corinth there, 3 months. It doesn't say that, but probably in Corinth, because remember, he wants to be in Jerusalem at the Passover. And that's a perfect area for the pilgrims who want to go to the feast, would go to Jerusalem, because you have the port of Corinth or Centuria, and you'd board ship and go there. But Paul finds, hey, this isn't going to be safe. After 3 months, the people are stirred up. And so this is not going to be safe. If I take the ship, I'm going to go back the way I came through Macedonia, and I'm going to come back there to Troas. So I think it's interesting, 3 months. It took 3 months and for the antagonists to get so mad that they wanted to kill Paul. And Paul didn't provoke them. I mean, he was just teaching the word of God. People were just getting saved and being raised up. He didn't go out with obnoxious behavior. He didn't rail against the pagans. But one thing that did take place there, that city of Corinth, you find that new converts, sons and daughters and husbands and wives and servants and workers, their lives were so radically changed in that city that was so perverse. That was a very perverse city there in Corinth. They were so changed when they were turned on to the Lord that it affected the unbelievers. The unbelievers didn't like the conviction that their family and their friends were bringing by seeing that their lives were so radically changed and them telling them about Jesus. They were uncomfortable. They liked to live in sin. They loved the darkness rather than light. But they saw the changed lives of those around them, and it was convicting to them. And so they didn't want to hear it. So they were stirred up against Paul. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 10, verse 34, it says, "Do not think," Jesus speaking, "do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be the members of his own household. And he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." So you can imagine the stir that was taking place, because Paul was not only preaching to those there, but he was discipling them, bringing them up, and their lives were so radically changed. And so these people were following Christ more than they were following their old peer group and the old ways of life. So I think it's interesting when we think about this and some of the things that Jesus says. You know, being a token Christian will not get you in trouble. You'll not find any trouble if you're a token Christian. You see, dead orthodoxy doesn't upset people, nor those who live their Christian life to please others. That doesn't raise, you know, any problems. The Bible says, Jesus speaking in Luke 6:26, "Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for in the same way their fathers used to treat the false prophets." You see, and that is after Jesus had told his disciples, "You are blessed when men hate you and exclude you and cast insults at you and curse your name as evil because you follow me." All throughout the New Testament, you find that there are issues, there are problems, there are tumults. We don't see that today, do we? A little bit here and there, but it just makes me wonder about our witness, about our Christianity. So here, Paul, they wanted to kill Paul. So here, the pilgrims, as I mentioned, the pilgrims would be there in the Macedonia area. And if they wanted to go to Jerusalem for the feast days, they would be in that port city of Corinth, and they would take that ship and they would go. But Paul's hearing that these people want to kill him, not safe for him to get aboard ship. Why? Because if you have those that hate you and they're waiting for you in a situation where maybe you and them are alone, or sometime at midnight, or sometime when you're out in a walk and you're all alone, they could throw you overboard ship. Not good. My uncle, he happened to be called Uncle Bud before a lot of our family was Uncle Bud. He was a radio operator and a merchant seaman. And I guess, what he would do back then is they would do a lot of gambling and on board ship, because there were a lot of downtime on these merchant ships, and being the radio operator didn't always have to be on the radio. So they would gamble. And he said sometimes when guys would gamble, they wouldn't pay their debt. You'd find them missing. They wouldn't get off the ship when they got to port. And basically it was just they fell overboard. He was actually telling us, and I was just a little guy, he was basically inferring that they threw him overboard, whether he cheated in cards or whether he couldn't pay his debt. But you see, that's really what they would do with Paul. Paul would be an easy target aboard ship. And so he didn't go aboard ship. He went back that same way he came. And so you see that on the map. He goes back that through Macedonia by land. And it says in verse 4, and he was accompanied by Sopater of Berea, the son of Phirus, and by Aristarchus and Secundus of the Thessalonians, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy, and Tychicus, and Trophimus of Asia. Asia, when you think of Asia, that's a Roman province. It's not the continent of Asia. That's not what they're talking about. But one third of the west and southwest of the modern Asia Minor, that was the province there. And you can see it on the map as well. So Paul had these traveling companions.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the book of Acts, chapter 20, titled Eutychus. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our vast media archive. We really appreciate any support or feedback that we receive from our listeners. If you'd like to financially support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online through our website, CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with him today.
As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.
Next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in Acts chapter 20. Until then, aloha and agape.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.